Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Each week, my guests and I share stories, challenges, and vulnerabilities, all with the aim of helping us to live in a more soulful, authentic, and integrated way. So thank you for tuning in. Let's jump into this week's episode. Hello and Happy New Year. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and that you had a chance to spend some time with loved ones, or maybe you just had some good quality downtime yourself. Now that the calendar has turned, we contemplate the new year stretching ahead of us. I've always loved the idea of the new year and starting over afresh. I remember even as a teenager, when still in school, scribbling goals or things I'd like to achieve in the year ahead in the back of my diary. Nearly 40 years later, it's fascinating to look back on them now. This was, of course, decades before I even heard of coaching or goal setting as a technique or mindset. Maybe I'm just the sort of person that is hotwired for being proactive or somewhat focused and maybe trying to make the most out of life. Of course, this is the time of the year when the media is full of diet and exercise articles and programs, counterbalancing our tendency to overindulge at Christmas. We hear plenty about resolutions too. As I've come to learn, and I'm sure you've realised too, that resolutions depend on discipline and ironclad motivation. They're often extreme declarations that are usually not sustainable. Oftentimes as well, our resolutions are what society or others expect from us. They're not really ours. The motivation's not intrinsic. I've always been a self-motivated person, but in recent times, I'm more interested in inspiration. I want inspiration to propel me forward. Remember, inspiration is always positive, whereas motivation can be towards something positive, but it can also be away from something negative, consequences of inaction, and we can also be motivated by fear, which is at the heart of so much evil in the world, and I don't want to add to that. So I'm more interested in inspiration. I want my actions, my doing, to be a natural byproduct of the quality of my being, the emotional state I'm in, my vibration, the energy I'm sending out into the world. Goal focus is, of course, a central tenet when it comes to coaching. You determine where you are, an honest assessment of reality, and you ponder where you wish to be, and you make a plan for bridging that gap. In organizations, this is called strategic thinking or strategic planning. We take a higher level overview of our lives and the changes or adjustments we'd like to make. Taking a few moments to step back and reflect on the bigger picture and maybe establishing or re-establishing some longer term dreams or goals is always a worthwhile exercise in my view. Without this wider perspective, it's all too easy for days to blend into each other and for that precious resource of time to slip by even more quickly. So this is an episode for reflection. A time to think about the year ahead and maybe what you'd like to do, have, create, be, or most importantly, feel in the 12 months ahead. I'll share with you how I've honed my, quote, goal setting, unquote, or as the title of this episode would suggest, my intention setting over the last few years. Sometimes instead of intention, I'll use the word commitment or maybe even the word promise. Commitments or promises are more personal, more meaningful. Richer words to me. I'll make a commitment to myself. I'll make a promise to myself. This approach is far more durable than so-called resolutions, in my opinion anyway. Often when we embark on a goal-setting exercise, set intentions or commitments, we find ourselves facing our internal narratives, how we speak about ourselves, judge ourselves or others. It usually means unearthing and dissolving limiting beliefs or assumptions, freeing ourselves to express more of what's in our hearts, to be truer to ourselves. This is why a theme for me going into the new year is to have the intention of engaging with myself and the world around me even more authentically. And I'm sure that's something you can relate to as well. I've called this episode Intention, Attention and No Tension. Of course, the writer in me loves the fact that those words rhyme. I've spoken for many years about setting our intention and then paying attention. This year, I've added in the term no tension, and I've done this for three reasons. Firstly, we could all benefit from having less tension in our lives, to feel our shoulders drop, to be a little bit more relaxed. With less tension, maybe we can ease back on our perfectionist tendencies and be a little less tough on ourselves. Less tension also means we're more open, perhaps more open to receive. Imagine for a moment holding a marble in your hand, gripping it tightly, stress across your knuckles. Less tension, opening your hand, holding the marble more lightly, being open to receive, with maybe room to hold more marbles. It's like that with our goals. I want to hold them more lightly. Lastly, no tension helps steers us into surrender, a vital ingredient in the manifestation process, which I'll speak about in a little bit again. If you ever read a personal development book or attend a coaching type workshop, well, you'll know about the importance of getting clear about what you want across all aspects of your life, from career to relationships, hobbies to living arrangements. Whether you start with the end in mind, know your outcome, or you just write out your quote-unquote smart goals, the emphasis is on having some sense of what it is you want to have, do, be, create, or manifest in your life. Knowing what we want means we're focused, which enables us to make decisions and plan our time to accommodate our priorities. Knowing what we want helps us to communicate more clearly. Knowing what we want and why it's important to us fuels our motivation. Knowing what we want and taking steps towards it boosts our self-confidence. Knowing what we want enables us to engage proactively with life. But what if we don't know what we want? Sometimes we have to start by identifying what we don't want or what we don't want any more of. It's our current pressure points, our pains and stresses that eventually push us to reach for something new. It's only when our present situation becomes intolerable do we often risk instigating change. When our back is to the wall, the only way we can move is forward. So that's the first question I'm posing this week as our eyes turn to the year ahead. What do I want to change? As ever, we're not concerned here with the how, only the what, and maybe we can ponder the why as well. What do I want to change, and why is that important to me? It might be a circumstance, like a job or a living arrangement. It might be an internal emotion or our habitual response to someone or something. As ever, when we're contemplating change, it's worth being aware of where we have control and where we don't, where we have influence and where we don't. It can be easy here to focus on how or why we want others to change, but that is not within our control. Something we all do is want others to change their attitude or behaviour so we can feel better. It's an odd one that, when you say it out loud, but we all do it. As I laughed with someone recently, sometimes we even want others to be psychic. We want them to mind read us, so they will then be impelled to change their behaviour so that we can feel better. I'm sure that's a dynamic in many relationships, especially for those of us with a tendency to slip into martyrdom. So our focus here has to be on where we have agency. In a relationship dynamic, it might be, well, how can I change my response or reaction to other people not changing? That's a deep one. So what do I want to change? How might you answer that? It might be setting an intention to instigate a big change in your life. Or it might be a seemingly small change, but one that would have a big impact on the quality of your life. I'll emphasize the word intention here again. I like to insert the phrase, it's my intention to, before whatever it is I'm seeking to change. So for example, it's my intention to find a new business premises this year, a warm, welcoming space, a haven for working with one-to-one clients. If that one sounds well thought through, it should be, because it's one of my intentions for 24. It's based on something I'm intending to change this year. It's fairly detailed, because the vaguer the goal or intention, the vaguer the outcome. That's what I love about the word intention. It doesn't get us stuck in the how. It helps us get clear on the what and the why. It also dovetails with my favourite analogy when it comes to goal setting or intention setting, and that's sowing seeds. We get to determine what seeds we want to sow. We don't do the growing. We tend the soil. Life does the growing. Today, for me, goal setting or intention setting is all about co-creating with life. I don't want to do it all myself. Let me work in alignment with the power that makes the earth orbit the sun and keeps the stars in the heavens. I've been setting my intention for big things and small for many years, and I'm amazed, well, maybe not really, at how quickly events, occurrences unfold to bring them about. I'll give you a few examples. I remember perhaps the biggest one is a few years ago when we set our intention around our wedding. We got very clear as to how we wanted to feel on the big day, and that feeling was our guide, our barometer. The aha for me at the time was that if we want to feel excited and joyful and giddy and special, all of these things in our big day, well, then this is how we should feel in every step of the process of planning it. When we planted those seeds, everything seemed to fall into place so much more easily and better than we could have imagined. We ended up getting married on a gorgeous summer's day in Central Park in New York. It was everything we wanted and more, and it all started with a clear intention based on what we wanted, and we stayed paying attention to our emotions. We were steered by our emotions throughout. That last part is critical. If you're not excited about working towards something that you want to make you feel excited, well, then how can it work out? If you're not peaceful in working towards something you want to bring you peace, well, that's going to be a challenge. And I think we sort of know that is true. Think of it like tuning into a radio station. What frequency does the radio station you want to listen to transmit on? You then have to turn the dial to tune into it. What frequency does your goal or dream vibrate on? How can you tune into it, align with it now, so you are on the path to your destination, pointing in the right direction? Let me give you another example of intention setting. Only a few weeks ago, I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have a workshop or a talk where I could stay overnight, just for a change of scene? It had been ages since I'd had a trip away for work, where I get to stay in a nice hotel, order room service, a little mini break on the back of a work commitment. I didn't want the hassle of flying, so I thought then the country would be ideal, a little road trip. Without getting specific, I said somewhere like the International Airport Hotel in Cork, a hotel I love, someplace I've stayed and worked in before, somewhere like that would be cool. So I set my intention and I forgot about it. And here's where the manifestation stuff freaks me out, but I know this is how it works, but it never ceases to surprise me. I sort of say, you won't believe it, but I do believe it, and that's why it happens. Anyway, that very afternoon, I get an email inquiry to speak at a team away day. I phone the organiser to discuss it and get more details. It turned out the away day would be in Cork. So, that's interesting. When the client said to me it would be the International Airport Hotel in Cork, well, I nearly fell off my chair. The universe grew that seed of intention within 6 hours. Ask and you shall receive. Now, you could say that that was a coincidence. But what are coincidences? I call them universal winks, just a little reminder, just a little confirmation as to how things work and how life is there to support me. I've many stories like that and many more that my clients have shared with me over the years. The one I do for fun every so often is put out to the universe that I'd love to be a guest on someone's podcast or maybe contribute to a media article, my intention being to share some insights or words of wisdom with a wider audience. Usually within the week, the inquiry will come in, and often by the end of that week, I'll have my photo or a quote in a weekend newspaper. So what's your intention for the year ahead? What would you love to come to pass, even just for the fun of it? I believe that this is a benevolent universe. Life works for us and with us, but we have to be the instigators. We have to be the proactive one. We have to determine what we want and how we want the universe to help us out. I always think this type of intention setting brings us almost into the realm of prayer, but not a begging, petitioning prayer, one that is based on ask and you shall receive, backed up by a noble intention, where we get out of our own way and allow life to go to work on our behalf, or as I like to say, to invite life to recalibrate and accommodate what it is we desire for the greatest good of all. Whatever your approach to goal setting, it starts with a question. Coaching question 101, I call it. What do you want? Rarely do we ask it verbally. Even rarer is scribbling down our answers. And of course, here I don't mean the usual cliches that most people parrot at this time of year, usually variations of the theme of being richer and thinner. It's letting your heart and soul answer it. Before we can contemplate it, we have to ensure that we are in a positive frame of mind, that we are above the line on the emotional scale, that we feel good. Goal setting, or anything for that matter, any decisions, any actions taken from a place of frustration, stress, anger, any so-called negative states, will be counterproductive. One of the quickest ways to change our state for the better is to bring to mind what we're grateful for. As I always say, without appreciation, nothing appreciates, combining two definitions of the word. That's why in the past, when I ran goal-setting workshops, we'd always start with a gratitude exercise or reflection. Something else that in recent times I found works well and that my clients find helpful is to change the verb in the question, what do I want? So instead of want, we try crave or yearn. So the question becomes, what do I crave or what do I yearn for? So that's the next question for you to ponder, the variation on the theme. In the year ahead, what do you crave? What do you yearn for? Those verbs, crave and yearn, somehow open the door to a deeper, more heartfelt wisdom. Our responses will then be based on emotions, usually. Things like peace, self-confidence, security, happiness. And let's always remember that behind every goal or dream is a desire or a request to feel more of a positive emotion. So when we know what that emotion is, that's the destination, then any goal I create for myself is a vehicle to that destination. And the more vehicles, the more options we have of connecting with the ultimate emotional payoff, well, all the better. Or can I simply find ways of connecting with that emotion now? If I'm after, say, peace, how can I feel peaceful now? If I want X, Y, or Z to feel abundant, how can I connect with abundance now in the simplest way possible? This is also ensuring we are tuning into the right radio station, as I mentioned earlier. We are aligning our frequency with the frequency of what it is we desire. As I referenced in the last episode, the Christmas reflection episode, our emotions are on the inside. They're not out there. They're not outside of us. Though we typically look to get stuff or change external circumstances, so we will change how we're feeling on the inside. But it's really an inside job, beginning, middle, and end. The number one reason why people don't get what they want is that they don't know what they want. So if we take some time to ponder what we wish to change, we set our intentions, we answer the questions, what do I crave for or yearn for? Well, then we are getting clear as to what it is we want. So we're getting over this first hurdle. The second reason is that we don't believe what we want is possible for us. For some people, goal setting or intention setting stirs limiting beliefs or assumptions. They run into narrative that blocks them. The very idea can have us bouncing between limiting assumptions such as, what's the point? I never get what I want. You know, it's not spiritual to want material things, or I don't want to be selfish, or I'm not worthy enough. If goal setting brings such thoughts to the surface for you, well, now they're in your awareness and you have an opportunity to challenge them, to shine a light on them, to move beyond them. Or as I often say, you know, set yourself the goal or the challenge to just prove those old thoughts or assumptions wrong. I like to use language that makes it easier for us to harness our imagination when it comes to contemplating goals, dreams, and desires. A sentence construct that works beautifully, and my one-to-one clients say it always opens the door to a sense of possibility and curiosity, and gets us to park at least temporarily some of our restrictive internal narratives, is the question or the sentence construct, over the next few years, if the world was working perfectly for me, I'd... And then you keep going. Capture what comes to mind. It's another way for you to get curious about the year ahead and how you'd like to shape it. So that's something else worth pondering. Over the next 12 months, if the world was working perfectly for me, I'd love to, and keep going. As with any brainstorm or heartstorm, there's no right or wrong, nothing too big or too small. We don't write down ideas for the sake of it. We only put pen to paper to see on the page an idea that excites us. It might be to go back to college. That's something I did last year. Or to own my own place, to do up the garden, to run a marathon. There might be a list of places you want to visit. What if the world is working perfectly for us? Well, what if it has been all along? It may not always appear that way, especially in the short term. With hindsight, though, we probably have evidence to support this thought. Life may not operate on our preferred timescales, but with the power that keeps the planets orbiting the sun and our hearts beating, the timing tends to be perfect. So intention, attention, and no tension. Before I speak a little bit more about attention and no tension, I want to touch on one of the more traditional or old style approaches to resolutions and goal setting. The common approach to goal setting could be summarized by the phrase, strive until you arrive. Now, striving can be a good thing. You put concerted, regular effort into achieving a desired outcome. But it's the intention behind the striving that is critical. If striving is not underpinned by healthy self-acceptance and self-esteem, the striving becomes exhausting. We will strive, but we will never arrive. More will never be enough, because we're looking on the outside for what can only be found on the inside. For some people, striving for some goals is all about their ego. For others, we strive because we want to feel worthy and good enough. I've bought the t-shirt on that one. So if we are striving, tackling our goals with a warrior mindset, hustling to get it done, a word of caution. What's the motivation behind all your efforting? Is it from a place of worthiness or an attempt to prove worthiness? Because there's a massive difference. Self-acceptance and self-esteem can't be gained from external trophies. The clue is in the term. It's self-acceptance. It's self-esteem. It can only be found on the inside. So from intention to attention, what am I paying attention to? There are two aspects to attention. What's happening on the inside and what's happening around me. If we think about the external aspect first, I like to use the analogy here of colours, and this is something you can do as you listen in. Suppose you set your intention to see more of a specific colour. I don't know, let's say yellow, nice spring-like colour. As you go about your day, you'll notice more yellow in your surroundings when you pay attention. If you walk into a colourful room, you'll hone in on yellow because that's what you're looking for. This is because we actively use the RAS, the reticular activating system, the part of the brain that assists us in focusing. Here we might think of the analogy of if you're buying a new car or you're thinking about buying a new car, you know, say, I don't know, a silver Mazda. And for the 2 weeks before you get the car and after you get it, you see loads of silver Mazdas on the road. It's not that there's any more or less of those cars there. It's just because it's on your radar. You're paying attention to it. You're activating your RAS, your reticular activating system. If we turn to the analogy of sowing a seed, the farmer who planted the seed will give it attention, maybe even give it love and trust that it will grow when the conditions are right. How do we help create fertile conditions? When we pay attention to our thoughts and our emotions. The farmer doesn't stand over the seed, berating it for not growing fast enough. Or because she doesn't see green shoots straight away, she digs it up, declaring that nothing good ever happens to her. Yet this can easily be our approach when it comes to goals or intentions. When we pay attention, we're also putting ourselves in a place to receive what I call sparks of inspiration, little prompts for us to take action. We recognize potential opportunities and act on them, striking whilst the iron is hot before we overthink it and talk ourselves out of it. I'll give you another example here. Back in early September, I set my intention to relaunch this podcast because I'd been away for a few months and I needed assistance with the technical side of the podcast production. I got clear on my intention of partnering with someone I'd enjoy working with and who would add value to what I'm trying to achieve with this podcast. A day or two later, I got an idea to put an ask or a request for recommendations on LinkedIn. Now, I share plenty on LinkedIn, but I'd never asked for help on something before, so I felt a little uneasy. But within a few hours, I got some suggestions and I did a little homework and I connected immediately with Evan Balfe, who now works wonders with my weekly podcast. How did I know that this would work out? Because at every stage, it was easy. There was flow. And as I say, I've aligned with life. I'm in the space of co-creation. Just like I was when we were planning our wedding back in 2018, or lining up that talk in Cork before Christmas. I've learned that coincidences or things just falling into place are all byproducts of head, heart and soul alignment. And the best part, action from this place will always feel thrilling and progress will be easy. Remember, action that feels like drudgery will be counterproductive and exhausting. When it comes to taking action towards our goals, we don't want to feel like we're wading through treacle, wearing ourselves out in the process. We want to reside in the Gulf Stream of inspiration. If our goals, dreams, and intentions are the seeds we plant, the soil is our mind, fertilized by gratitude and positivity. The weeds represent limiting beliefs and assumptions that can easily choke our budding dreams. Some seeds might fall on barren land, planted in the wrong place at the wrong time, but we'll know better next time. Other seeds are like bamboo, lying dormant, sometimes for years, until the conditions are just right. Then they shoot up at a rate that can appear miraculous. We don't usually see the first signs of growth because it happens beneath the surface in the womb of the dark soil, hidden from view. We continue to do our work, taking pleasure in the process of tending the soil. We don't abandon the seed too soon. We rest in our knowing that every seed germinates in divine time. We trust that when it is strong enough, it will break through the surface and into the light. The final part of my little triad is no tension. In the last 12 months, I've come to realize that this is a vital ingredient in the whole goal-setting, manifesting law of attraction process. We have to get out of our own way, and it is challenging because it's counterintuitive for us go-getters, doers, those of us familiar with the belief that if you want something done well, you do it yourself. But as I said earlier, we could all benefit from less tension in our lives. So we want to avoid having any tension around goal setting or intention setting exercises we might undertake. But more than that, we want to ease ourselves into a state where we're open to receiving both inspiration to act and to receive what we desire in a way that perhaps we might not have planned or expected. Dropping tension or stress around my goals and desires helps me to align emotionally with what it is I'm seeking. And remember, we're not chasing a goal, we're chasing the feeling we want on achieving the goal. So unless my goal is to feel stressed or tense, which it won't be, stress or tension cannot be part of the process. There's a story that Oprah famously tells about how she got the role in The Color Purple, that movie going back to the 1980s. And this story perfectly illustrates this point of no tension. As Oprah tells it, The Color Purple by Alice Walker was a book she loved and she desperately wanted to be in the film. She auditioned and heard nothing. Weeks, months passed. She phoned the casting agent, which was a big no-no. He told her that he had real actresses in the movie. It broke her heart. She became convinced that it was her weight that prevented her getting the role. So she enrolled in a health farm. As she tells the story, she's out on a running track in the lashing rain. She said she was going to work out until she could reach a point where she could be okay with not getting a part in the movie and be able to bless the other actors who did get the parts. She says she turned to her faith and sang a hymn called I Surrender All over and over until peace settled in her heart. She then got a message from reception at the health farm that she was wanted on the phone. It turned out it was Steven Spielberg, the director of The Color Purple, and he wanted her in the film. He also told her that she mustn't lose any weight or she'd jeopardize getting the part. The rest, they say, is history. And of course, Oprah was Oscar nominated for the role of Sophia in that movie. I love that story because it illustrates for me a vital part of intention setting and manifesting, which is you get what you want when you are at peace with not getting it. That for me was a really massive aha moment in the last year. It bears repeating. You get what you want when you are at peace with not getting it. Saying it another way, you get what you want when you no longer want it, or you no longer are emotionally needy about it. You're no longer focused on the absence of it. You're no longer jealous of other people's successes. Now, that can be easier said than done. But as I say, I've come to know that this surrendering, this no tension around our goals or intentions is a key part of the process. When I reflect back, I can see evidence of this in my own life. Maybe you can too if you contemplate it. What were the times in your life when you let go and what you were seeking came to pass, when you relinquished the neediness around having it? The biggest example of this for me goes back about 18 years and I hadn't really thought about it at the time. But back then I got serious about having a personal relationship. I wanted someone to share my life with. As a gay person, I grew up in a society that implicitly stated that my love didn't matter. But I'd put in the hours of personal development work and I'd grown more confident in myself and was more comfortable in my own skin and I felt ready to share my life with someone. My intention had been set and I laugh now because I approached finding a relationship a bit like a project manager. I think I had a spreadsheet for tracking the dates. It was like I was auditioning potential partners. There were a few false starts and maybe after 2 years of, let's call it a dating churn, I was getting tired of the scene. So on one of the sites I was on, one of those sites that's focused on relationships as opposed to nowadays where maybe they're more about hookups, I put up a very open and honest profile. I was clear about who and what I was and what I was seeking. And then I thought no more about it. I put it out to the universe. I let it go. I surrendered it. I made peace with the fact that I may never have a life partner and that I'd be okay. So I got on with the business of living and making the most of what I had. Of course, within weeks, I got an email from Brian. And I knew from those first few lines back then in August 2007 that this was it. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. I remember writing that in that old profile on the site that I was seeking to have a conversation with someone that would never end. And what, 17, 18 years later, that conversation is still going strong. I let go. I surrendered. I made peace with not getting what I wanted. And then it manifested. It's like what I was saying earlier about holding the marble in your hand. When I released my grip, dropped the tension from my knuckles, and opened my hand, holding the marble steady, then I opened to receiving, and I watched what I desired fall right into the palm of my hand. One of the books I'm currently reading is by the Japanese author Haruki Murakami and his book Novelist as Vocation. It's a fascinating read for anyone interested in writing or even more broadly in creativity. But in it, in a chapter on originality, he posed the question, who would I be if I wasn't seeking anything? He asked this question as a way to unburden ourselves of expectations and dreaded perfectionism, but it also struck me as a great question under this heading of no tension. When I pondered the question, who would I be if I wasn't seeking anything, in terms of my goals or desires this year? Well, the answer that came up for me was, I'd be at peace. Now, isn't that the ultimate goal, the ultimate emotional payoff that we're all after? And the irony is, if I'm at peace, just as Murakami says, it frees up the writer to explore their creativity. Well, it frees me up to drop expectations and maybe just go with the flow. And this is not a place of resignation or fatalism. It's getting out of my own way, aligning with or tuning into the emotion I want in my life. In this case, for me, peace and the freedom that comes with it. So how would you answer that question? Who would you be if you weren't seeking anything? Can you use that question to drop what's not serving you, to move into the space of no tension? As I move into wrapping up this week's exploration of my alternative approach to New Year's resolutions and share with you a few final closing comments, a quick recap on the questions I've posed throughout this episode. Just so that you can refer to them more easily if you want to note them down and maybe reflect on them yourself whilst curled up with a notebook and pen and maybe a mug of something warm. The first question was, what do I want to change and why is that important to me? Remember, circumstances will push us until our vision for ourselves pulls us. How can I change how I habitually respond to someone or a circumstance that won't change? That's an interesting question, that one. What's your intention for the year ahead, maybe across different aspects of your life? Or what would you love to come to pass, even just for the fun of it? What do I crave or what do I yearn for? Those verbs will often get us to what I call the goal beyond the goal, the emotional payoff that I'm seeking. Then there was that question construct. Over the next year or so, if the world was working perfectly for me, what would I, or what would I love to do or be or have or create? When we move from intention setting then into paying attention, we have the question, what am I paying attention to? Maybe on the inside to my feelings, my mindset, on the outside to opportunities that could come along. As I often say, we want to stay a cooperative component in our own process of manifestation. There was that key aha. You know, you get what you want when you're at peace with not getting it. So how can I find a way to be more peaceful around my goal setting or progress towards my goals? And maybe that I'd be okay if it didn't come to pass. And then thinking back, what were the times in your life when you did let go and what you were seeking came about when you relinquished the neediness around having it? If we look back and see how things maybe worked out for us more easily than we imagined in the past, we have evidence to trust that things will continue to work out for us. And sometimes all we have to do is get out of our own way. I'll close this week's episode with another analogy. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I like to bake. Well, a baker decides what they want to bake, what will nourish them, what they'll enjoy, and maybe what they'll enjoy offering others. They gather and mix the ingredients, following the steps in the recipe. They ensure that the oven is switched on, connected to the power source. They'll then put their cake batter in the oven and leave it alone. They don't check it every 5 minutes. That would ruin it. They get on with other things whilst the cake bakes. The cake will be ready and will be perfect when the allotted time is up. The baker trusts that the oven will do the baking, certain that the fruits of their labour will be delicious. The baker and the goal setter, the intention setter within me, loves that analogy. And a bit like the bakers on the Great British Bake Off, when it's the technical challenge, sometimes they're not given the exact timing. That can be the case with our goals and intentions. We may not have the exact timing, but as the co-creator, life, the universe, God, whatever term you're most comfortable with, they know the exact timing. Our role is to be clear as to what it is we wish to bake, what we want to rise in the oven, to remain a cooperative component in the baking process, and to lick our lips, anticipating and savouring the outcome. Finally, so much of what we hear in the media at this time of year promotes the myth of should and not enoughness, that somehow we're lacking. Whereas I believe that we're all perfectly ourselves while still works in progress. If you choose to purposefully embark on an intention setting exercise, perhaps using some of the tools and questions I've shared this week, we'll have fun with it. Enjoy the process of creation and co-creation. There's tremendous power in owning our desires. We cannot receive until we ask. Life experience will sharpen our taste buds, hone our preferences, and as the baker of our lives, we get to choose what will nourish us. And a very final thought. All great accomplishments can be traced back to a single thought, an idea, a curiosity, an inkling, a what if. So one last question. What if this year is your most fulfilling and rewarding yet? So until next week, my friends. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed this episode and have a moment, please rate, review and subscribe if you haven't already. And maybe you'd like to share it with a friend too. For more information about me, James Sweetman, my coaching services, workshops, books, and for more podcast episodes, be sure to visit jamessweetman.com.